But first, we're going to hear Nosferatu on their own, and works by two of their founding members, Dave Price and Finn Peters. Dave's the group's regular percussionist, but the percussion in the Purcell Room was played by Damien Harron. On piano was Ivo de Greef. They were joined by saxophonist Finn Peters, and he talked us through these pieces, starting with Dave Price's Lee Gaines.
Based on a friend of ours, vocal samples from a composer who lives in Masan City in Korea called Mr. Lee. And he was studying with Dave Price and Joe Cutler in the Warsaw Conservatory. And they were together. When they were together, they spoke a combination of Polish, English and Korean, and they developed an international languagey. Dave went over to Korea and hung out with Mr. Lee and took lots of samples and chopped them up and then wrote a piece of music based on that. So it's a lot of fun.
So you're playing the saxophone, the percussion and piano absolutely alongside and completely in time with vocal samples of Mr. Lee speaking that Dave's manipulated effectively.
Yeah, that's right. It's alto sax and piano and percussion and tape part, and we have to sync it to the tape part. It's quite challenging, but yeah, it's great fun.
No click track, you're just...
No, it's all kind of weird time signatures. It actually came out of a piece, it was inspired by quite heavily by a piece that I was playing by Jacob de Veldhuis, who's a Dutch composer, and he wrote a piece for tenor sax and ghetto blaster called Grab It. That was based on vocal samples from people that are on death row in American prisons. Dave really liked that, and he sort of took a bit from that.
Finn, thanks. Well, let's hear Dave Price's Lee Gaines.
You don't know Korean language. 전달하다, 전달. 전달. Communication, Korean. 전달. 이해하지 못한다. 모른다. 모른다. 아, 이해한다. 알아들었다. 이해한다. 알아들었다. 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 이해한다. 알아들었다. 네, 너가 말한, 너가 말을 했던 말을 알아들었습니다. 말을 알아들었다. 이해한다. 나가서 한 잔 더 합시다. 뭐 밤새도록 하면 마시지. 밖으로 나가서 한 잔 더 하시다. 술 한잔 하러 나가자. 술 한잔 하러 나가자. 한잔 더 하러 나가자. 술 한잔 더 하러 나가자. 대다. 손을 대다. 손을 대다. What do you think, David? We make international special language. But now, 3% understand. 액센트 no problem. All understand. 예. 아야야. 오케이. International language.
두개를 combine.
액센트 no problem.
You. Different way. Different way.
We use language international language. Are you understand? English, Nojumi, me speaking English. Nojumi, I don't know. International language, man.
I don't know.
You don't understand English good, don't understand.
I think understand exactly style. Maybe problem. No, exactly. Maybe mistake. Again, try. Again.
You don't understand English good.
Understand.
알겠다. 알아들었다. 이해한다. 너의 말을 잘 알아들었다. 안다. 예.
아, no.
I speak English language. Difficult. Only Korean. Process. 칩. 뭐잖아, 판. 판 process. Continue 같이.
7, 10, maybe 100 country language use. All person understand international making language. What do you think?
Lee Games by Dave Price, played by Nosferatu, three members of Nosferatu at the London Jazz Festival. More music by Dave Price coming up in a few minutes. But now, music by Finn Peters, saxophonist and flautist, and member, of course, of Nosferatu. The piece is called 43, and it's a number that Finn Peters told me he just can't escape from.
I remember somebody stealing 43 quid from somebody else at school when I was about 15, and that's when I first became aware of it. And, yeah, I've noticed it all the time since then. Check it out. It crops up all over the place. Yeah, I guess I was trying to make sense of what it meant to me and decided to write that piece of music. I've been thinking about this, actually. We try and make sense of the world around us, don't we, with what we write. Or I do, anyway, and I think it had some kind of mystical significance that was...
It's a very attractive prime number, 43.
It's a prime number, yeah, and it's a centred heptagonal number. And it's
which means?
Do you know what?
I'm sounds rubbish. Great.
I'm really bad at maths.
But you use some of these, you've investigated some of the mystic Kabbalah number theory of 43 in order to create the piece we're going to hear.
Yeah, I used sort of various numerical systems. Like I said, I'm pretty terrible at maths, but I do think that when you hear something very pure mathematically, it's when you see something like that. I think friends of mine that are good at maths say they can actually see it. Like I can sort of see music in my head, and with maths they can do that as well. I wish I could with maths, but I think I was just trying to discover what 43 meant to me. And I didn't really get anywhere, but it sounds quite good.
But it sounds also like time passing, regular rhythm, mostly a quiet dynamic, often the instruments playing together in very beautiful combinations of notes, but it has, in a way, a static quality, like we're inhabiting some crystal-made music, maybe.
Yeah, totally. I'm glad that you caught that. I think, again, it was born out of context. You know, Dave's piece before and Dave's piece afterwards are quite loud, and I thought possibly the rest of the gig might be fairly intense, and obviously Schlippenbach and Lovens and Parker play everything from quiet to loud and, you know, 15-dimensional music or what have you. But so I wrote quite a quiet, still piece, and I thought that would fit into the programme pretty well.
The world premiere of 43 by Finn Peters. Finn Peters, 43. Finn himself on flute, pianist Ivo de Graeff, and on percussion, Damien Harron. Well, Nosferatu ended their set at the London Jazz Festival on their own before they were joined by the Alexander von Schlippenbach Trio with another piece by Dave Price. It's called Twitcher. Finn Peters explained why.
Yeah, he was going to call it Angry Birds, I think, but and it's
that was taken, maybe, that idea?
Yeah. Yeah, I think somebody came up with that one already. That's just using a lot of bird calls. Dave's really into bird calls. He bought some from a Brazilian bird maker, but he makes beautiful handmade box sets of bird whistles that imitate very accurately the Brazilian bird calls, and we're using them. And then Dave's recently been getting on a lot of websites for like deer hunters' websites and getting all sorts of like turkey gobbler calls, and there's a partridge in there, and then he just got onto coyotes, and there's quite a lot of different sounds in there.
So it becomes a sort of like the end of the second movement of Beethoven's Partial Symphony, but in the South American jungle. Not quite. I mean, in other words, what is it? How do you make a piece out of all that? How does Dave make a piece out of all that?
There's a lot of hocket in there, so there's a lot of different
rhythmic
parts.
Interlocking.
Yeah, rhythmic interlocking. There is actually a story within the piece as well, I think, where two birds are ganging up on another bird, I think, and they get a bit angry with the other bird. And I think, to me, and both Dave and I are very influenced by Hermeto Pascoal, you know, who we both sort of met.
Great Brazilian musician.
Yeah. And so there's influences from Hermeto there, and obviously the Brazilian bird whistle thing. It's a lot of fun, that piece. There's a lot going on. Watch out for the end, something quite nice happens.
Let's hear it. Twitcher. Ah!
to the set we're about to hear from the Schlippenbach Trio. Had you heard this group before or seen them?
No, I hadn't. And I was definitely the first time I heard them, first time I'd seen them. So it meant that whilst they have all that august history you're talking about, you know, in a way for me, this was, if you like, was a complete blank slate, unlike them, of course. I mean, it was incredibly powerful. I mean, the range, I mean, even just like what Paul Lovins was doing in the moments where he is sort of spotlit a bit in what we're going to hear. I mean, I was just, my job was on the floor. From that really small set of instruments, he just conjures an unbelievable sound world, and the script, if you like, that they were working from, is, as you say, is kind of a 40-year-old record of their relationship together. So that, you know, can you really say that that's completely free improvisation? Well, no, because it's obviously about the way that they hear, not just the way they hear sound, the way they hear each other. So that when Evan Parker gives one tiny glance over to Schlippenbach, well, that's going to mean something. You know, part of their whole history together, which is going to produce something in his playing. Same thing with Paul Lovins. You know, they've got that unbelievable subtlety of interaction. The result was an incredibly coherent 20-minute musical experience, which had shape, had form, had all the things that you want quote-unquote composed music to have. And made me think in general, actually, the whole gig made me think in general, that the labels of composition and improvisation, especially in contemporary music, are pretty well, you know, they're almost useless in some ways in terms of getting a handle on actually the things that are happening on stage and that we're hearing.
That's interesting, because, I mean, the fact that we're, I guess, sharing this gig between the two programmes, Here and Now and Jazz on 3, perhaps backs that up. Are there any specific aspects of contemporary classical music that you can hear, particularly in Schlippenbach's playing?
Well, I suppose that there are probably connections in terms of how Schlippenbach thinks about what music might be, what the whole project of putting sounds together is. And one of his teachers in particular, Bernd Alois Zimmermann, a German composer who committed suicide in 1970, he was a composer for whom there were no boundaries, very unusually for a composer of that generation. He put everything in his music, tape, recordings. There's a lot of references to jazz and pop music in what he did as well, very unusually for the time. But I would say really it's about thinking about what musical material might be and having in a way a kind of critical relationship between about what the sound might be. It always means something. I had the sense that, you know, everything that happens is going through a filter of meaning. And they were having a great time, both backstage and then on stage as well. I mean, you will know. I mean, whether this sounded different to you or different relative to other things you've heard them do. But for me, it sounded incredibly fresh and absolutely in the moment. But I mean, how does
I mean, I guess the answer to that is that it always sounds different, but it's kind of in a continuum of what they've done in the past. But then, you know, sometimes you'll hear them kind of maybe more sort of directly reference some of the things that they sort of very much into. And I think one of the exciting things, as you said, there they are hanging out backstage, and you get the sense that this tour that they do every year means so much to them. They have a kind of series of rituals off stage and on stage. I don't know what the off stage ones are, but I'm sure they involve eating in good restaurants and drinking good beer. But that, you know, that brought to bear in the energy and the fun of the live performance. We'll talk after this short set about the collaboration with Nosferatu, but first of all, here's around about 20 minutes of music from Alexander von Schlippenbach on piano, Evan Parker reeds and Paul Lovins on drums. The Schlippenbach Trio recorded at the Purcell Room as part of the 2013 London Jazz Festival.
Thank you. Thank you.
I talked to Nosferatu's composer, Joe Cutler, and Alexander von Schlippenbach about their collaboration, billed as Nosferatu versus Schlippenbach in the programme. So was this really a working together, or rather, a confrontation?
I think the versus is really about a meeting of the two groups. And I think the reason why we thought this would be an interesting collaboration was because the lineup is the same, identical. And as a group, Nosferatu, the performers in the group themselves, Finn Peters is a very well-known improviser. The group, all the players in their own ways are involved in improvisation. The borders of jazz, the sort of hinterland, the borderland between genres. And I think we felt that Schlippenbach Trio are sort of on the other side, but it would be great to see what happens when we bring these two borders together.
What are you sensing, Alex, about the connections between the two worlds? The instrumentation, so potential saxophone or flute that Finn plays, percussion and pianos, that similarity. What connections have you discovered in working with Nosferatu and in the pieces that Hannah, Joe and Hans have written?
Yes, first I didn't know really about the combination of two trios with almost the same instrumentation. And I was quite surprised already in the first rehearsal yesterday how good it can work if we find out about the sound and can react to each other, even so it's a completely different concept of both of the groups, because Nosferatu is playing more composed music and we are absolutely a free improvising group. And we had the possibility to react to some of their material and find into it. And so there was some impulse coming from this other group as well. But we had only these two rehearsals, so we had to concentrate a lot on what's happening, and we could find some results already. Yes.
Have the composers, Joe, have you kept the trios separate in terms of what they do? I mean, the easiest thing to do, I guess, would be to contrast an improvising trio with Nosferatu, who are reading from notes, most simply. But I'm guessing that's not what you and Hannah and Hans have done in understanding what the richer possibilities might be of this collaboration between two trios.
I think it's a mixture, in a way. And I think, you know, as I've worked on my piece with the ensemble, it's been nice to try and make it feel more like an ensemble of six players than actually two groups coexisting on the stage. So in a way, what we've been looking at trying to do is to try and bring the material as much together so it feels quite seamless. I mean, what my starting point for my piece was...
flexible music.
Yeah, flexible music was that Ivo, our pianist, is probably the least sort of experienced improviser. And so I thought I would use him as the kind of thread through the piece, something where he becomes the kind of thread all the way running through the piece. And there's also notated material for Finn and for Damien, our percussionist with Nosferatu. But there's also room for them to go off notes quite a lot. So gradually through the process of rehearsal, we're sort of trying to make it as fluid as possible.
And have you written any notes for the Schlippenbach Trio or not?
No. There's no notes at all.
Alex, you're reacting, entirely reacting.
Yes, it gave all the three composers gave us a lot of freedom to react on their material, and this was of course a good situation for us to check what we can do, and the mixture of the sound was surprising interesting for me.
Do you think this heralds something in the future? Would you want to do this kind of project more in the future? I mean, historically there have been all those attempts to put some kind of improvisation together with notated composition. This is in a way the latest attempt to do something like
Yes, this is a long story for our group as well, because we had done similar things before, and it was always most of the time was many problems as well. Yeah, of course, because the attitude of the jazz player, the improviser, is very different from musicians who play just composed music, and this brings up many times a lot of difficulties as well. But in this case, we could really play our thing and felt free to react.
Alexander von Schlippenbach and Joe Cutler. And so the first of the three collaborative world premieres we're going to hear tonight, Joe Cutler's Flexible Music, a piece that simultaneously creates a solid structure for both trios to flex their musical muscles and which gives the Stippenbach trio ample room for improvisation, as Cutler says in his programme note. Flexible Music, performed by the Alexander von Stippenbach trio, Evan Parker, Paul Lovens and Alexander von Stippenbach, and Nosferatu, Finn Peters, Ivo de Graeff and Damien Harron.
Thank you. Thank you.
Joe Cutler's Flexible Music at the Purcell Room in London, part of the London Jazz Festival. Nosferatu and the Alexander von Schlippenbach Trio. Music by German composer Hans Koller next. Working as pianist and composer, Koller's no stranger to the world of improvising musicians. Yet there's still at least one mystery that we needed to solve. Why does Evan Parker call Hans the Cockney German? Hans told me why.
Oh, so you've read my program notes. Very good. Yes, basically because I love the Cockney rhyming slang so much. And I think Evan, this is just a sense of humor that you sort of develop after 20 years in London, and the Cockney rhyming slang, which is so unique. So just I think music and the rhyme and rhythm, that's the key, really. So,
well, that also leads perfectly into this piece, which has got this fantastic title. Okay, it comes from a German children's book, but it's still a great title. Eins, zwei, drei, Tier. Can you just explain why that's actually very funny in German, that?
Yeah, I'm very chuffed that you say it's very funny, because, you know, Germans, it's the one area where we're very self-conscious and lacking confidence there. So.
In your sense of humor. Well,
that's exactly it. So that you say that it's funny, comes as a great relief. Basically, one, two, eins, zwei, drei, tier, one, two, three, animal doesn't work. So basically, you need to find three kind of items or three things that work that rhyme.
Okay.
And then the fourth one still rhymes, but it bleeds you into another area.
So, because the original 1, 2, 3, 4 in German is 1, 2, 3, 4.
Sorry, I should have said that.
So a translation, as you do in your program, that would be in German. In English, you wouldn't say 1, 2, 3 animal, but you might say 1, 2, 3
door. I think
door. 1, 2, 3 door instead of four. Yeah. Yes. So, look, how does that then, you know, play out in the combination between Nosferatu and the Schlippenbach Trio in your piece?
Well, you can see that this fourth element is like the spanner in the works, and this is that breaks the logic, but at the same time has a strange hidden connection to it. And that's really what the whole project is about for me. You know, that was conceptually writing the piece, was I create some kind of logic, and I have a logical classical trio that will play logically the music that I write, in theory anyway, on the page. And then I have this animal there, which is the Schlippenbach Trio, which will interfere with it, but will have some kind of hidden connection with it. And the hidden connection, as I said before, is supposed to be rhythm and rhyme. So there's a rhythmic connection. And I mean, that's obviously freely improvised, but if you hear a rhythm, it's very difficult to do another rhythm against it or to ignore that rhythm. You can have an interlocking rhythm, that's a different rhythm, but you relate to the rhythm. It's like oxygen, or it's like you have to push air around when you speak. So when there's a rhythm, you have to deal with it. So
one thing about this whole collaboration is the idea that Nosferatu are somehow logical, because they're really notes, and there is this feral, untamed beast of the Schlippenbach. I mean, that's not actually true, is it?
That's
really
just one layer of it. Yeah, but that's, and I think in terms of like this kind of bizarre task of composing for this double trio, that helps as a way in, that you have something that will more or less stay the same every night. And you have this other element that will completely change. In theory, it can completely change. I mean, I have no idea what they're going to do with it tonight, to be honest. But I have a bit of an idea what Nosferatu will play, because, well, I hope they play roughly what I've written for them. So it's a relativity, you know. Of course, we have to see what happens. But that was the starting point.
The world premiere of Hans Koller's Eins, Zwei, Drei, Tier.
Thank you.
Hans Collers, Eins, Zwei, Drei, Tier, at the Purcell Room in London. Next up, the third of our world premieres from the London Jazz Festival, putting the players of Nosferatu together with the Alexander von Schlippenbach trio, Hanna Kulenty's Smoky Eyes. Polish-born Hanna isn't used to working with improvising musicians. She talks about her work for concert halls and for the stage as a polyphony of time dimensions. But there were other dimensions for her to cross in writing this piece for Nosferatu and the Alexander von Schlippenbach trio, as she told me.
Now, first of all, I wrote everything notated, with notes, notated music. And now, in this case, I knew that the musicians from Schlippenbach Trio, they can't read notes. So I have to find a way to notate it. So the music is time. I had to organize time. And in this piece, very important is the form of the piece. So it begins with very simple melody that grows with double combination and ends with also very simple melody. And I had to put this improvisation of the Schlippenbach Trio gradually. So they started together with Nosferatu Trio, and later, like on the mixing table, they change. They play first role in the music, and then again comes the trio, contemporary trio.
Did you know the Schlippenbach Trio's sound world? I mean, were you writing with these particular voices in mind? Alexander von Schlippenbach at the piano, Paul on drums, and Evan on saxophone. I mean, did you think about their sound world in particular when making the piece?
Well, I knew that these people are very famous and they can play very well, so that was for me enough. And I also wanted to give a freedom to these people and not to... to give the borders, you have to do like this, just feel free, listen to the music and react on the music.
The title? This it's a very evocative
eyes.
Title.
Yeah, Smoky Eyes, that comes from this melody.
Saying
smoking eyes or okay. Something similar.
So the simple melody we hear right at the
nothing
start of the
piece. Nothing more can be but smoky eyes. I found it interesting.
Have you enjoyed the process so far? Would you like to explore this as a genre in a way, between... working with improvising musicians?
Yes, it's for me. It's for me. It's something new, and I'm even not nervous because I don't know what going to happen.
Well, it's a nice situation to be in.
Yes, of course.
Just before a world premiere, very good. Anna, thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.